listening to Innovation on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Kara Hetland. We're in the studio at the University of Sioux Falls. We're going to talk 3D printing. I was hoping you brought me a little something.
You should have.
I'm going to have everybody just kind of get a little bit closer to your mics while we get set. And I'm going to have you say your names all one more time so I can write down the pronunciations. Rob?
Rob Hodgden.
Rob Hodgden. Thank you.
Andrew Welbig.
And Andy Pulsifer.
Thank you so much for coming in and talking about this. And the name of your business is Futurescape 3D.
That's correct.
Futurescape 3D.
Yes.
You're in Sioux Falls.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And where at in Sioux Falls?
We're over on the east side of Sioux Falls in the Golden Valley Shopping Center on the corner of 26th and Sycamore.
Okay. So this is the first 3D printing standalone studio in South Dakota.
It is.
Okay. So why?
We really love technology. I'm a huge sci-fi nerd, and it helps to be surrounded by other sci-fi nerds. So it's fun to be able to create products for people that they wouldn't be able to have otherwise.
Okay, so talk a little bit about what kinds of things that you create.
We get a lot of custom orders for props and replicas from people's favorite TV shows and movies. We've done a lot of industrial work for some smaller industrial companies in South Dakota, where they need scale models of large equipment that they have that they want to take to a trade show. And the equipment's just too big to take onto the trade show floor, so they have to scale the models down and then mechanize them so that they work the way that the real machines work, so that they can show potential customers the benefit of their product versus their competitor's product.
And you can 3D print from a picture?
Not from a picture. So Andrew's our designer. I'll have him talk about that.
Okay, Andrew.
Yeah, the ideal sort of scenario is that they give us a handful of pictures, sort of what they're looking for, and I can mock that up in 3D. So we'll go through a round of revisions and stuff with the client. But so I'll make it in 3D. Those instructions will be handed off to the printer, and the printer will make those in 3D. So I'm kind of the 2D to 3D converter.
That you draw in 3D, right?
Yeah,
or you create on the computer?
Sculpt is a good way of putting it.
You sculpt it?
Yeah, yeah. There's really two ways of going about that, using kind of engineering programs, AutoCAD and the like, or using more of an artist's set of tools, sculpting sort of things. They both have their advantages, but that's how I was trained, so that's the way we're going right now.
And talk a little bit about the equipment that you have at your business.
So we have different 3D printing technology types that can do different things. But essentially, the technology is such that we can take a raw material, a plastic or engineering thermoplastic, and turn it into anything that people need. So the machines will either melt the plastic and extrude the plastic layer by layer, mm-hmm. until it builds the entire product. Or we have a liquid resin medium that we use, and a laser will actually sinter the resin in that shape layer by layer. And we can get some really detailed prints with those printers.
You're kind of blowing my brain just a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm just being honest. I mean, how big? How big can you print?
We have six smaller desktop printers that can do pretty much most of our products, but we do have two large-scale printers that can do objects up to 2 feet tall in one go if we need to.
Right, and that allows us to print a lot of things, but we can also piece things together. So we just finished a 4-foot-long Starship replica for a client, done an 8-foot-tall suit of armor for another client. So it's really, there's no limit. It's just whatever people can come up with.
I mean, we're hearing things that you're going to be able to do 3D printing of car parts, right?
Yes, and I think a lot of automotive companies are doing that now. They're either prototyping in metal 3D printed parts, or they're incorporating 3D printed parts into their finished products. I know BMW is doing it. GE is looking at doing it right now, and Mercedes is doing it right now as well. Well, they're putting 3D printed parts into cars.
And this is, though, our plastic. I mean, it's plastic, right, is what you're printing in plastic?
Yes, we print in plastic, but those parts that would go into the cars would be metal. And they do have metal 3D printers, but they're $1 million plus to do that.
Okay, now you're hurting my head.
I know.
Yeah, so there's been a lot of growth in all of that over the years, and it's only going to get easier and cheaper. It's just a matter of letting the technology catch up with everything else.
And so as you look at this in your business and you see, start seeing what the need is there a consumer need for 3D printing, or is it mostly a business need?
I would say that there's not necessarily a consumer need, more so a consumer want. So you know,
it's cool stuff.
Yeah, you can you can think of anything you want, and you can get it made. You know, if you want a 4 foot long starship from Star Wars, we can make it. If you want,
sure I do.
You know, if you want just a little model of your dog printed, we can make it, and it's, you know, fully finished, and you get it, and it's cool, and you can't have that without a medium like this.
Right, and some of the stuff we haven't really covered yet is just the inventors prototyping things for people. So we'll have people come in with just a general idea of something that they'd like to make. They see a need for it. They work with us. We go back and forth a few times prototyping through their product, and by the end, they've got something that they can go to larger companies with to sell. So it's a good way for the average person to prototype their ideas, because we have the engineering know-how to be able to make that and to print it and get something in their hands, and they can decide whether or not it actually works. So it's a really good process for people in that regard.
And how expensive is it for somebody to come in and say, I want a 4 foot starship house?
I think that that level of customization is fairly expensive. Uh-huh. But when Andrew was talking about prototyping, the prototyping process in general is incredibly expensive. That's really cost prohibitive for inventors to actually get their product to market. There's so many people that have really great ideas, but they can't bring those ideas to fruition because they're not able to create a prototype. And instead of spending $30,000 or $40,000 on an industrial prototype that they find out doesn't work and they waited 8 months for, we can do it at a tenth of the cost for, and have it done in a month or 2 months. So the benefits of rapid prototyping with 3D printing are huge.
So I have an idea, and I want you to help me create a prototype. And I have to bring you, I don't have to bring you the 3D drawing. I just have to kind of, you work with me in what I want to do.
Right. Yeah. It's if you can bring us pictures or even idea, we can do it. If you have got the 3D model already, we can make the conversions or adjustments that you might need. Sometimes somebody will want something that does already exist on the internet. We're able to find it and make alterations that they might want, and that lowers the cost for them, and it helps us to move things out faster.
So you already have to have something in 3D form and able to print it in 3D.
Right, and that's where I come into the picture. I'm able to create that 3D file for them.
Hmm. What is the most creative thing you've had to print other than a Starship Enterprise?
I think my favorite unique project is a man came in, and his wife years ago had made a set of gingerbread men and women for their family, all the kids and stuff. She'd found these little wooden gingerbread men at some sort of trade show, and years later they had a bunch of grandkids, and those little gingerbread men and women don't exist anymore. She can't find them. So he brings them in. We make 3D versions of them, print them out in a wood plastic. Those things exist. And then paint those up the same way she did for her kids. And all of a sudden, they've got a complete set. So it's just crazy what people come up with. But, I mean, it's really only limited to what people can come up with.
So you have that sentimental value.
Right.
I want this preserved.
Right.
Right.
And we've had people come in with antique dressers and stuff like that where they can't find the exact knob that this person made 100 years ago. And while we can't, you know, give them that antique knob, we can make something that's accurate to that.
That looks just like it.
Right. Like, you can't tell the difference. You can put them side by side, and I mean, a real discerning eye will probably be able to figure that out, but this is a lot more feasible for most people.
It's as close as you're going to get without actually finding that dresser that was two of them made.
Digging through mounds and mounds and mounds of stuff at a flea market.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So you can take it in and say, help me make this match.
Yep.
Right. Yeah, it's it's really hard to illustrate what we've been able to do. It's just people come up with the weirdest, randomest ideas, and we can make it a reality. It's just the applications are limitless, and that's really kind of the hard part, is because when you say you walk into a candy store and you've got 50 candy bars in front of you, you have a hard time picking. But, I mean, it's there. I mean, you can pick whatever you want. You just got to pick something.
Yeah, exactly.
But as technology advances, 3D printing is decreasing. So businesses, I'm saying, could buy a 3D printer if they felt they had a need?
I think they could. I mean, I feel like the whole process is simplified to the public, where they just say, oh, you just buy a 3D printer and you hit print and you have it. A lot of people will go through that process, and even some other small businesses might go through that process, and they'll give up because it's more complicated than that. And so there's a learning curve, but like you said, as the cost goes down, then it becomes more of a commodity. But the real impact comes from our ability to create the 3D models and to do the post-production. Andy and my wife, Sarah, are amazing artists that have really pushed the limits of what 3D printing can become. Because our entire goal is to create 3D printed products that do not look like they're 3D printed. That's our goal.
I want to thank the three of you for coming in, and I look forward to learning more about this and coming by and seeing it in person.
Yes, so, that'd be great to have you.
I appreciate you guys coming in. Thanks. Rob, Andrew, and Andy, thank you so much.
Thank you.